Welcome to Laugh It Up Fuzzball. I am Joe the Wookiee Riot. Welcome to the podcast where we talk about life, the universe, and everything, but mostly geek stuff. A place where we get to let our geek flag fly and talk about all things geek. As I've said before, this isn't an amalgamation of geek news or a comprehensive guide to all genres or the world of geekdom. Hopefully it's just a fun place to cover some geek news, comics, The Simpsons, Star Wars, and whatever randomness finds its way onto the recording. But let us get started.
Well, hey, friends, welcome to level 382 of Laugh It Up Fuzzball. That's right. A Zuh episode, a friend episode. And fair warning, a completely unscripted, unplanned, being recorded on a strange time episode.
Yeah.
Oh, you heard the voice. Hey, recognize that voice? If you do, hooray, you know who it is. If you don't, it's none other than the Earl of Blueberry himself, Benjamin Blueford Blue the Fourth.
Huzzah.
You know, I don't remember. Where did the fourth come from? Is it just because it sounds cool?
The letter D.
Is it the letter? I think you just made up a really good reason for it. But was there a reason?
Yeah, it's the fourth letter in the alphabet.
Okay. There we go.
There you go.
D for Daniel. The fourth. But yeah. And there's four letters in blue.
Yep.
Yeah. Even if you spell it in Spanish.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was meant to be. It was meant to be. But hey, Blue's joining me for I don't even know what the title is. We'll have to workshop it, or maybe something will come up. But totally unscripted geekery. No, I don't know how much. I don't think any of our episodes are actually scripted, so that's a bit of a misnomer. But untargeted, unplanned.
Unaffiliated. Sure.
But hey, what's good and geeky in your world, Mr. Blue?
Earl Yusuf. My gosh. So in the geeky front, a couple things. And we can choose to go over like whatever things that we want. One, my wife finally got to watch Nimona, which
nice.
She loved. We've spoken about it on the podcast before. A fantastic movie. Absolutely loved it. One of my favorite movies of last year. Easy. Nimona was fantastic. And she really
it was great.
Yeah. Another geeky thing on my end is that, did you know that they started re-releasing the 1986 to 1989 action figures of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? And I mean, like, the original ones, they're just re-releasing them in retro packaging.
I am aware of this because of the Sean guy.
Yeah. I picked up a couple because I was like, I never had them as a kid, so might as well pick up a couple that I never had, because that's pretty freaking cool. And they're relatively cheap, too. At Walmart, they're only like $8 to $9 a pop.
Nice.
So I was like, holy crap. I also noticed that, like, Target, they were like $12. And I was like, why such a huge price difference? That's wild. But yeah, going to Walmart and picking them up has been pretty cool on my freaking geeky adventures lately.
That's awesome.
Caitlin, it was actually my lovely wife who convinced me to actually do it, because it never would have gotten done if it weren't for her talking me out of a panic attack about buying anything for myself.
Yeah, I love the piss out of those toys. But which figures did you get?
Oh, so, okay, I'll go, because I got a bunch of them. I also got a bunch for Jason, too. So what I ended up getting for myself were the Turtles with the storage shells. I wanted to get the original ones, but nobody seems to be carrying the original ones anymore. And the storage shells are pretty darn close. I mean, they come with all the extra weapons and all the cool stuff, and you could put the weapons inside of their shells. obviously, because they're storage shelves, which made it really, really cool and convenient when you're like trying to display people. You put them up without having to worry about any of the, you know, weapons being like, you know, taking care of them and stuff like that. And then out of the secondary characters, I also started to pick up a couple of the other ones that I never had as a kid, like Ray Filet. I always loved Ray Filet.
Ray Filet.
In that new movie, he's so wacky and quirky. But in the first one, he was a marine biologist, which was pretty cool. Yeah, so I picked him up. I also got Wing Nut and Screw Loose, which were also very different and also not from Earth in the originals than the new movie. Who else did I get? I got Ray Filet. I got that. I found an original Shredder, so I immediately bought him.
Nice.
I was like, hell yeah. I found Rocksteady, so I immediately got him too. I got myself Leonardo. Well, I got all four turtles, and I gave Donatello and Michelangelo to Jason because those are like his favorite turtles. And then I kept Leonardo and Raphael for myself. And I went fishing around in some old toys, and I found my old Usagi Yojimbo.
Nice. So,
I pulled him out of my storage because he was one of the only ones I could find. So I have him with the group now. Unfortunately, I don't have any of his weapons, but he still looks good. So, you know.
Well, like, yeah, I knew they were coming out because one of the, for Sean's birthday last year, Heather got him one of each turtle, but they were like different kinds. So two of them were from Mutant Mayhem, but then two other ones were from like other lines. And like one of them is like that old classic, like Leonardo, where like you open up his back and you can turn him into a turtle.
Oh, yeah. And I have that one, too. Yeah.
I was like, this is a toy from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So that I've seen like on the shelves and like, of course, like looking like for like, you know, presents for like Keysmas and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, man. But the current Mutant Mayhem figures are freaking rad, too. They did a really good job with them.
I absolutely agree with you. They did a really good job with them. So,
and I like that they're like different. You know what I mean? Like so often they like just retrod like molds and all that stuff. So I appreciate like they look like the freaking characters in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really refreshing.
Yeah, it's pretty freaking cool.
In fact, the Sean guy just got late holiday presents from his adopted grandma. And there's a couple that he already has. So tomorrow we're going to go to Target and return like $70 in turtle toys. And then he gets to get other stuff. So we're really hoping they have the turtle van. And then we'll see. We'll see what they got.
Yo, so, that's awesome.
Yeah. So it'll be neat. Like the one like multi-pack he got. Like it's the second time she gave it to him. But that's okay. You know, it's a gift's a gift. But like it's like $54 of toys. So
that's freaking sweet.
Yeah, and I was like, and if they don't have this stuff, we found some figures on the Amazon. So I was like, if they don't have it, then you'll just like give the gift card to Daddy, and he'll get some new underpants, and then I'll get these for you on the Amazon. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Because I found Splinter, and what else did I find? I found Rocksteady from the new one, and then another baddie. So. I think it was Scumbug. They came out with Scumbug.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's so weird, but it's so cool.
Yeah, it's super fun. Yeah. Speaking of the turtles, have you seen the new crossover between Master of the Universe and the Ninja Turtles?
I have. You know, before we dive too much deeper into turtles, did you want to talk about Nimona before we forget about it? Or did you already say what you had to say on it?
Oh, I said what we had to say. Plus, we spoke on Nimona about during our big thing.
We did. For
favorite movies of last year.
Cool. Yeah, I really dug it. In fact, the other day we were looking at stuff to watch, and me and Shawnee were debating just putting on Nimona. But I think Super Mario Brothers, that movie gets picked more often than not. In fact, we watched it again today. So, that Super Mario Bros. Movie is pretty rad.
That just makes sense.
Well, I found myself just so excited again when freaking Charles Martinet shows up with the stereotypical Italian voice playing the game that looks like Donkey Kong and says Jumpman on top. Like, oh, it's just such a nice moment.
Yeah.
So I know it's just a quick hit and people probably sad because like he's like the iconic Mario voice, but I felt like in like a quick like 10 seconds they like piled so much love on top of him just with what was shown.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
we were just like, not complaining, so I think they did a good job.
Yeah, that Super Mario Brothers is just eminently rewatchable.
Oh yeah.
I don't know what it is about it either, because there is nothing complicated about it.
You know what it is? It's the fact that Luigi is so good in the movie that he could be completely outside of everything throughout the whole movie, come back at the end, and still do better than his brother. I think that's really where it comes down to.
You did talk about that in our end of year picks of stuff, but
that's because it's important to talk about.
Yeah. Speaking of end of year stuff, did you finally watch Blue Eye Samurai?
I did not. I have not had a chance yet, as I've been planning for an anniversary trip with my wife.
Okay. But don't sleep on it too long.
Yeah. Before it goes away.
All right. But crossover, it's MOTU TMNT crossover.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot. Yes. Yeah. That crossover, it's so wacky, bro. have you seen the figures for them? Some of them are really cool and other ones are really silly.
I have, because I think Danny posted it on the Laugh It Up Fuzzballs page. Yeah, so, yeah. And yeah, some of them are really freaking wacky, but some of them were actually pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm digging the Leonardo with the dual sword that kind of comes together to be the He-Man power sword, you know? That's pretty cool. And they gave him all this armor. But I think the one that shines the most so far for me is Donatello sharing
in the
like technology and stuff with Man at Arms. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that one is like definitely like the highlight of the series.
I think the Krang excites my kid imagination the most.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it is such like a weird, like, I think he's supposed to be like Bebop. I don't even
really.
Or no, I can't even. I'm trying to think. He's like, but he's like green, and he's. Oh, I don't know which bad guy he's supposed to be.
Hold on, I'll look it up. Because I forget what it looks like. Oh my gosh, is he supposed to be the Cyclops guy? Triclops?
Maybe, and like Skeletor. Shredder's supposed to look like Skeletor.
Yeah,
right?
Shredder's supposed to look like Skeletor, but they just turned his big robot into a MOTU figure.
Yeah. I don't know, it just looks cool.
Yeah, it does. They made him look like an orc or something. That's funny.
Yeah. It's pretty silly. But yeah, I mean, you know, I'm all about the, at least this shows like some creativity on the side of like the toy biz, you know?
Well, yeah, but I'm also really mad because it's very obviously like a cash grab. Like, let's put these two things together and see how much money we can make out of it. And unfortunately, it's totally working because I think they're so cool.
Also like, I just have to question, like, even though I guess it's a phase one and there may be more, how did you not do all four turtles?
Yeah, where is Mikey? Like, what the heck?
And there's, like, a Man-at-Arms figure that just, like, looks like Man-at-Arms with a turtle shield. And it's like, okay. Like, I suppose. True.
Having seen his other fingers, like, he's just as good as like the new MOTU figures that have been coming out.
Right.
But I will say, in his defense, his new color scheme, like this deep, like royal blue, I'm flipping in love. Like, this is probably my favorite looking Man-at-Arms figure ever. Like, he looks good. It's a good color. He has the oranges and stuff, because usually he's got that green and the yellow, but man, he looks really sick right now. I will say that. But that's like a color scheme thing. In terms of actual figure, he's the exact same figure. There's no difference. Except they gave him a giant shield, and it's a turtle shell.
Yeah, I saw like a poster for like Turtles of Grayskull. So there's a mutated Ram Man that's not on there. There is a Shredder. My screen got all crazy. Where was it? Come on, get bigger. There's a Beast Man, a mutated Moss Man, and then, yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
Like, the Mouse Jaw is like just a Mouser and that guy. So. Yeah.
Mouser and Trap Jaw together is kind of ridiculous. I was like, what is this? And then He-Man got hit with the ooze and now he's all evil.
But even on the big poster, it's weird. Michelangelo doesn't have a figure.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I get that, like, you know, we're all grown men, but do they not realize that Mikey was always the most popular of all the figures?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that means, like, grown men like us at least have a memory, even if Mikey's not our favorite turtle, of, like, the, you know, I don't know.
No, you're right.
Yeah. It's just wild. Yeah. Maybe I'll post that image up on my Instagram just so people can see it. But yeah. Okay. I mean, like, dude, my entire life is Turtle Mania right now, Blue. Like,
oh yeah, with the boys.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah, it's just it's wild. Like,
do you let the boys watch the Power Rangers either as well?
I don't think they've seen any Power Rangers yet, but I wouldn't keep them from it.
Okay, that's cool, because I know that like the Ninja Turtles did their whole crossover with the Power Rangers too, and those figures are just, I have to keep myself away from them, because otherwise I will buy the whole set. Like, I have to stay away.
Well, I mean, so I have you as a captive audience. I don't know if you've listened to like the most recent like news episode, but did you hear me talking about the Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong comic book?
I have not, but I know the comic book that you're referring to, and I've read bits and pieces of it.
Yeah, it's like 4 issues in right now. So I was like, I need to know if Blue has read any of this, or what do you, everything I've seen is very, very positive about it.
Yeah, same. I read the reviews first, like, of what people were saying about the books thus far. And a lot of people, like, actually, I haven't seen any bad reviews yet of it. A lot of people are just really into it, like, really into everything that's going on. Like, when Godzilla blasts, I don't want no spoilers for the people. You know, when there are obviously clashes between heroes and such, and some of those clashes were pretty cool, in my opinion. So there's that.
Yeah, the cover art alone is just freaking righteous.
Yeah, I want to read the story, because I want to know how the heck Godzilla got in there in the first place. Like, what is going on? DCU is going flipping crazy.
Well, it's just, you know, they gave the writer and the artist the chance to, like, freaking do it. And they jumped on it and gave, I mean, when it's all said and done, it's going to be 7 issues of amazingness. So, and I'll be very, very interested in reading it all when it's all together, you know, in 7 issues.
Yeah.
You can pre-order the 7 issues, like, right now.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
So, trade paperback is already up for the pre-order.
I should do that because that's freaking cool.
Yeah, it's just I don't know. It's sort of cool to cross the Justice League with the MonsterVerse, you know?
Mm-hmm. I just like crossovers like that in general. I think a lot of them can be very fun. Just like we were just talking about the Turtles and the Power Rangers. I thought that was a really cool one. The guy who drew those, Dan Mora, is so flipping good because I don't know if you've seen his, like, actually taken a little bit of a deep dive into his actual Instagram and artwork and stuff, but he did a crossover, like a personal crossover of Batman and all the, you know, the Bat family as like Power Ranger characters, and they are so cool looking. Like, I want that book to happen so bad just because of his artwork. It's just fantastic. Absolutely phenomenal.
Well, I definitely follow Dan Mora on Instagram, so I see when he posts stuff up. Mm-hmm. His art is so clean.
It's so clean.
But I think the writer is Brian Buccolato, and then art's by Christian Deuce and Luis Guerrero.
Nice.
So
talented team.
Yeah, it's good sauce. And I was like, man, MonsterVerse is so hot right now, Blue. Like,
oh hell yeah.
You're living in the twilight of your fandom.
I am. I'm getting my fandom everywhere right now. Like, ugh, so happy about it.
Well, it's funny like you mentioned, like Masters of the Universe. So, MOTU Revolution just came out on Netflix.
Yeah, and man, people are really digging this one. Whereas the first one, there was a lot of controversy and there were a lot of douchebags going, why is it about a girl and blah, blah, blah. They're really coming out in force on this one. So, like, they didn't develop.
So, you could watch Revolution without watching Revelation, but mm-hmm. you're better off for having seen Revelation. Like, it is a continuing story. Have you watched any of Revolution yet?
Not Revolution, because I'm still catching up on Revelation.
What I can't tell, Danny watched it today while Cindy was taking a nap. So mm-hmm. it's like 5 30-minute episodes. So it's like totally doable. It's like watching a 2.5-hour movie.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it Friday night while the kids were at hockey practice with the missus, and I was waiting to do my sleep study thing. So, oh, it's so much fun. And like, I mean, they did take some notes with like people that were mad about like what happened with the Tila story. But everything that goes on with the Tila story like continues, and I don't think she gets sidelined. Like she has a part to play in the story just as much as Adam and Skeletor. But they introduced a couple like new wrinkles into the mythology, which are pretty freaking dope. Mm-hmm. And I dig in that entire like magic versus technology. Was a lot of fun. And then there's whole bunches of freaking like good guys and bad guys that like show up in the show, and you're just like, oh, I can't believe, like, you know, as much fun as you had in the first one with like Moss Man and Stinkor and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. The new freaking characters are just, you're like, ah, this is freaking great. And the character that's voiced by William Shatner,
mm-hmm.
so perfect. And hearing Mark Hamill and William Shatner voice act against each other,
yeah,
it's so freaking so beautiful. And like, yeah, like the one thing with like Revelation, there was such great stuff for Cringer and for Orko, and they don't get as heavy as stuff, but there is some stuff for Cringer that you're like, ah, oh, this is so great. Andra, the one character voiced by Tiffany Smith, doesn't have as much stuff, but there's a whole bunch of stuff for Evil Lyn, and I don't know, but like Hordak and freaking Gwildor is in the freaking show, if you can believe that.
Yeah, that's crazy to me.
Oh, and it's so good. It's so freaking good. And it sort of makes the He-Man movie like canon in the He-Man universe. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
God, it's so freaking lovely. But I mean, Scareglow shows up and Zodak, and there's a dragon at one point, and I don't know. And like even like Battle Action He-Man is like referenced at one point.
Wow.
I won't spoil like how, but it was just a love letter. Me and Danny were just like, you know, messaging back and forth how like we felt like kids again. Like this is definitely like a spiritual successor to when all the shows that we watch were all about selling toys.
Yep.
And yeah, man, if we're gonna, it was good. And it's 5 episodes. It gets in, it gets out. It might continue, it might not. And whichever way it goes is fine. So, and yeah, it just it handled the nostalgia really, really well. And all the new versions of the new parts of the mythology are fine and don't take anything away. And in fact, it's like big revelations. However, when you go back and watch the old Masters of the Universe, it's not going to change anything that you've seen because it's handled so deftly. Yeah. So, yeah, I just I appreciated it. And Kevin Smith and the crew did a pretty dang good job.
Yeah, for reals. I've been loving the animation style, the whole thing, the whole nine.
Yeah, I mean, I think they took some notes from the reaction to Revelation, but in this case, I think the notes, like, they took the notes and did something good with it versus just, like, quitting on their original idea, if that makes any sense.
It sure does.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's pretty fun, and the voice cast is good. I didn't even notice the difference of now having Melissa Benoist as Tila versus Sarah Michelle Gellar. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So didn't even notice it. It was fine. Maybe if I'd watched it like back to back. But yeah, just all in all was solid, and I really. Sorry, excuse me. I hope they continue, to be honest.
Yeah,
I want more from this universe. And the crew at Titmouse, the animation is just beautiful.
Yeah, they're killing it.
I'm pretty sure it's Titmouse that's doing the animation for it.
Somebody's doing the animation for it, and they're killing it.
Yeah, I was trying to look up... all the stuff, but IMDb is not the easiest place to freaking find information.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, what else is good and geeky in your life, Mr. Blue?
Let's see. We did the Transformer. Oh, speaking of Transformers, did I bring that up before or when we were in call? Anyways. We were talking about Transformers before the call, and I had showed you a couple that my brother had got me and my wife had got me, and they're really cool. They've been putting out the 1986 movie versions of the Transformers in action figure form, which obviously they did when the movie came out, but now new technology. New engineering, like the engineering of these figures are freaking phenomenal. They're so well made. Because Jason had gotten me this one and my wife had gotten me this character named Blitzwing, Darth John was like, hey, I used to play this game on the Xbox 360 called The War for Cybertron. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay, and he was like, you want to play it? And I was like, sure. And I did horribly. And John was like, to the point where Darth John was like, you know what, maybe I don't give you these shooter games no more because you're not good at these, and it made you upset. And I was like, nah, man, I loved it. It was great, which I did. It's true. I loved it because I thought it was really freaking fun. And the transformations are super, streamlined. And it made me wonder, like, if they're going to be bringing out any new, like, Transformers-based stuff, you know, like, what's going to happen, what's going on, what's new. Because I see all these figure lines and stuff coming out, and I'm pretty sure the anniversary is going to be coming up at some point. And I would love to see some new Transformers content.
Well, I was looking at all the movies that are coming out in 2024 and like populating like my list of stuff that I'd like to see. And there's something coming out September 13th animated called Transformers 1.
How interesting.
Oh, and I don't know much more about it than that. But yeah, September of this year, action, sci-fi. It looks like, well, I mean, the cast... Hold on. So Chris Hemsworth is voicing Optimus Prime.
That's weird.
Brian Tyree Henry is voicing Megatron. Scarlett Johansson is voicing a character named Nalita. Keegan-Michael Key is voicing Bumblebee. Lawrence Fishburne himself is voicing Alpha Trion. And John Hamm is voicing Sentinel Prime.
Wow. That's wild.
It's a standalone animated movie that's separate from the live action films, does not follow their established canon, takes place on Cybertron before the Transformers relocated to Earth, showing the earlier dynamic between Optimus Prime and Megatron as friends, not enemies.
Yeah, because I'm looking at some of the artwork here right now. It looks like they're going all the way back to when before Optimus Prime became Optimus Prime, he was known as Orion Pax, and he was a dock worker. That's all he was. He was just a little dock worker guy. And Megatron was a gladiator in the gladiator pits, and Megatron was like, you know, advocating for reform, and that Cybertron having gladiator pits at all was bad. And you know, Orion Pax was like, yeah, I'm for all of that. And they're like, yeah, we're too capitalistic and we're too this and we're too that. And then Megatron was like, sweet. Now that I have all these people behind me, I'm going to freaking take over the world and everything is for me. Ha ha. Yay. He became a freaking dictator.
Yeah, I see I don't know if this is what the artwork's going to look like, but it really has like a Teen Titans Go look to it. So I don't know. It looks pretty wild.
It does look pretty wild, but it also looks pretty cool. I can get back behind some of it.
Yeah, I'm just it's just cuz you mentioned it. So just by very nature that they're going to have a cartoon coming out, I think that definitely bodes well for more Transformers stuff, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, let's be real, any of this stuff that's made by Hasbro or Mattel, it has toys in mind.
Oh, of course.
Like I was telling you, I got that MCU book, the Reign of Marvel Studios. And I'm only like 100 pages into it. I don't know how many pages it is total. Like I guess I grabbed the book. It's right in front of me and tell you. But it's talking all about how Avi Arad and Ike Perlmutter like get involved with Marvel 100% because of toys.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, everything that they're doing is, you know, that's when Toy Biz acquires Mattel. And it's pretty freaking interesting. But I'm 79 pages into a book that's that's a big index. Looks like it's like 400 something pages.
Wow.
All said and done. Lots of citations, so I'll give him credit for that, even though it's made by like entertainment journalists.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's 429 when all said and done.
Wow. If it says book.
So far, it's been really enjoyable, though. It reads real fast. The only reason I'm not further into it is I just haven't had that much time to dive into it.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and I always find, like, some stupid game on my phone or show to watch. Like, I thought I was going to watch it Friday night, but instead, I watched MOTU Revolution.
Well, you're done with all your classes and everything. You got your degrees and everything, right?
Yeah, for as good as it's worth.
Yeah. So at least there's that. You don't have to be rushing for classes anymore.
I do not. Although I don't know that I use my time as economically as I did when I was in my master's degree.
Well, I think that happens to the best of us just because, like, you when you have to do something a lot, like, for a while, and then you suddenly don't have to do that thing a lot, you kind of tend to, like, rebel against that feeling of having to, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to keep go going. You find ways to, like, finally break away from it and just chillax.
It's just in May it'll have been 3 years, man.
Oh, okay, that's fair.
yeah, it's all good. What else? What other good and geeky things, my friend?
Oh my gosh. So, on the gaming industry, you know, I've had a number of friends like quit. I mean, straight up quit. All this stuff going on with the like the big companies right now it's been insane. From the voice actors being like, yo, we've got our voices stolen for AI to be used in these ways that we don't want to the artist being really screwed over, like really dicked over. Like one of my friends, you know, the guy who played Hawkman in the Black Adam movie?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so he has a company that they do a lot of like the animations and stuff like that for, right? And he has this company, but he takes, like, one of my friends got hired for them, and he was like, yo, I quit after like a week because he takes 30 to 40% off the top of whatever the people are making. So whatever they were making, I think he was making like $7,000 a month for salary. And the dude took like 30% and he was only making like $4,000 afterwards. And like everybody was like, yo, it's a little much, like, and you need us to move to these places, but we can't, like, we can't move to those places because it's too expensive. We would basically be rooming with each other all the time, like four or five of us just to make ends meet. Like, shouldn't we have a little less? And you know, companies being companies, they were like, no. So yeah, super wild out there right now. Like the industry is going through their changes. And I think it really is just like everybody's trying to find their like push and pull, testing their boundaries and stuff like that. I'm really curious to see where everything goes.
So is it a result of like monopolies in the gaming industry or?
No, it's really, what it really comes down to is everybody wants the AI to happen because there is so little respect to the artists and the people who actually like put all this stuff together, because to them it's like, oh, you're just drawing a picture. Why should I pay you $3,000 to draw a picture for me? Like,
well, like concept art and stuff.
Yeah, concept art to the actual like rigging of the game and stuff. It's like you're playing on your computer. You're not a programmer. You're not making the program. And it's like, well, no, but we're the ones who run it. You literally have nobody else who can run this stuff, and they don't see how skilled the stuff, like the actual work is. So there's this really huge disconnect right now between the artists who are obviously have gone to school for, you know, sometimes like 13, 14 years and are constantly learning. And then these guys coming up and saying, oh, well, I could go and get an AI program to make this picture for me. you know, and then not understanding the difference between like how bad an AI image is going to come out in comparison to what like an actual artist will do. And because of that, there's a lot, and there are no unions. That's another big thing. There's no unions. There's no fighting. None of the artists really go on strike for anything. They just roll over and take it always. So because there's no kind of consequence, there's really nothing, like, there's nobody kind of rooting for the artists to do anything. So they're just kind of like doing their own thing and trying their best, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I chihuahua.
Yeah. It's a wild time right now.
That's crazy. It's really unfortunate.
It is. That's the state of the gaming industry right now.
Yeah, I mean, there have to be people doing okay since there are such like wild games coming out. Like, is there anything coming in the future that you're really excited for?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So my gosh, as a matter of fact, I think I made an entire list of things to look out for. yeah, for reals, I did. So there's this game called Dave the Diver. And let me look it up real quick because it's super cute. It's like a pixel game and you can jump into the water, and Dave the Diver is this big, jolly, he reminds me of a heavier set Jared from Jungle Cruise, if you remember him.
Okay.
And he gets into his scuba gear, he jumps into the water, and you have to just do water stuff with like all the animals and such. But he's a bigger guy, and the animations for it just they make me so happy. Like, you got to see the animations for it. It's fantastic. And he gets into all these wacky predicaments, and I can't wait till this game comes out because it looks really good. Like, really good. The other one that right now that just came out is called Pal World. Have you heard of this?
No. How do you spell it?
Pal World, P-A-L, and then World, W-O-R-L-D.
It's two different words.
Pal World is under a lot of scrutiny right now because Pal World is a game that people equate to, have been calling it Pokemon with guns. Because you can go around in this world and you can travel around. Jason and his wife have been playing it a lot. And as you're traveling through this world, you can get your balls and you can capture these creatures that look like Pokemon. And there are all sorts of creatures. They're like penguins and electric things and icy things and all this stuff, just like the Pokemon. However, the difference is that you have to beat the hell out of the animal first with like a baseball bat, or shoot it with a gun, or hit it with a crossbow to wound the creature and then capture the creature and then make it work for you on your farm. So you can bring it home and have it assemble, like get a whole bunch of them and have them on assembly lines making like military grade Gatling guns for you and all sorts of stuff. So you basically teach your animals about capitalism, and you force them through the machine, and then you go to war with every other thing in the planet. And it's gaining a lot of popularity. It's gaining a lot of infamy because it's an open world. You're moving around. You can ride some of them. You can fly on some of them. You can travel through the water with some of them, and they'll love you and treat you good, but you're still like, you know, you're still making them work for you, almost kind of like, not all of the things are good. I can't bring myself to play the game, I'll tell you that. I have too much of a kind heart to like jump in there and beat one of these Pokemon with like a baseball bat. I can't do it.
Okay. I mean, but, like, oh, go ahead.
Yeah, it's like a very visceral Pokemon. No blood. There's no, like, they're not, like, exploding or anything like that. But, like, you know, it's all the cuteness of Pokemon with, like, oh, it poofs. And then it becomes, like, an item that you can use and stuff like that. But
huh. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I mean, I'm excited, although I'm not going to get to play at the Star Wars Outlaws game that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So that has me freaking super stoked. That game looks so pretty.
Oof, nice.
Like, I'm always like, games that... It's always interesting to find games where I'm like, you know, this game makes me consider getting the console that I could play it on.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know if I even told you, for the holidays, Danny gifted the family his PS4.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So a PS4 with his like VR headset and like a whole bunch of controllers and games. And amongst the games that he gave us was Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Nice.
And I'm like, it's sitting right there. Like, I could plug this in and I could play it. Haven't hooked it up yet. Like, we hooked up the Switch. You were there when we hooked up the Switch when you and Dark John. But haven't. But I guess the second game, they're doing whatever reverse engineering to bring it to the PS4, like, late this year. Mm-hmm. So Survivor is going to be on there, too. And I was like, oh, I'll probably pick that game up when it is to play at some point in my life.
Yeah.
But Star Wars Outlaws will not be reverse engineered, probably, for the PS4.
Yeah.
So, but, it's been interesting. It's so funny because we got, like, you know, we got the Switch for the family for the holidays. And probably total gameplay as of this recording, maybe 8 hours. Maybe. 2 of those hours were because the Thai guy really wanted to stay awake for the new year. And we were like, bud, you're not going to make it. And he was like, I'll make it. And then I was like, why don't we just play the Nintendo Switch for 2 hours? Like, while we get closer and closer to actual midnight. So that's 2 of those hours. And then nice. We did a little bit of playing as a family where we all switched off the controller when people died. It was funny. Heather bought the Harry Potter game for the PS4 or for the Switch. And then, like, on the very first level was just stuck and stuck and stuck. And I was like, babe, I got to go to sleep. I was like, did you ever get unstuck? She's like, I did. Then I got to a new place and I got stuck again. So we're just not gamers.
Yeah.
That's okay. Like, the Mario game's been fun. I played the Paw Patrol game, which I put on the Star Wars Lego game. Like, they made it very complicated.
Yeah.
It has a lot of features. It's a bit much right now for me. I couldn't quite figure it out.
That's fair.
I liked it when it was a little simpler. So I'm sure it'll get played more, but yeah, I'm just that's not my brain's not coded for that thing. But everything I saw looked fun, you know. I was just like, wow, this is so much more than when I played those first Star Wars games when it was just episodes 1 through 6.
Mm.
So So that's but I think that Star Wars Outlaws game looks freaking fantastic.
Yeah.
It really. And then I shared with you the Jurassic Park game.
Oh yeah, yeah, you did. I remember.
Yeah, I forget what the entire name of it was, but the dude, that cutscene. What'd you think of it when I had you see it?
Oh, it's beautiful. Are you kidding me? Wow.
Like, it's probably the best graphics I've seen so far in a video game. Do you agree?
Yeah. Well, best. It's up there. It's definitely up there. I've seen some really good graphics. And then on top of that, graphics are like very, what's the word that I'm looking for? It's very that word, which is good.
Very that word.
I can't remember the word. Subjective. Yeah. Like,
oh, there you go. Yeah, the name of the game is Jurassic Park Survival. So
there you go.
But it looks cool.
It is like, gorgeous. That's,
that also, like, just seeing that, it's so pretty. I'm like, oh, man. Did you see any of the Indiana Jones game?
Yes, I did see the Indiana Jones game. Yeah, that one looks pretty cool, too. Like, the those action-adventure, like, almost like old platformers and stuff. Pretty cool. Pretty cool indeed.
Yeah, I think the problem is that, like, other games like Uncharted and the Lara Croft stuff have been so freaking good that having an Indiana Jones game, like, unfortunately, it's going to be held to that mark. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's pretty interesting that they decided to do, like, the first person, mm-hmm. like, instead of doing, like, a third person. I would think with, like, Indiana Jones, like, the third person would make more sense.
I mean, yes. More like how Uncharted was. But, you know, they gotta, they're doing their thing.
It's from the same company that did, like, Wolfenstein or something like that.
Yeah.
So I guess that's why. It's Machine Games and Bethesda.
Bethesda's cool. See, but Bethesda, because Bethesda's making it, it'll probably have the option for third person, because, like, I think 90% of Bethesda's games, you can go first person or third person, like, over the shoulder.
I think Machine Games is the primary for it.
Yeah.
And then it's just going to have the cinematic cutscenes.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I mean, I'm freaking cool. Like, if you're going to keep Indie alive, like, mm-hmm. and having the guy that, you know, did voices for Uncharted, like, in the trailer for Indie, like, it sounds close enough to Harrison Ford, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool. What else? You got any other good and geeky stuff to talk about, Mr. Blue?
Oh, bro. The game that I'm looking forward to the most is called... Monster Hunter Wilds. So I was talking to my brother. We got into a real deep conversation about from our childhood, like, what video games we liked, and, like, if we have figured out why we like those games, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when we were talking about it, I realized, like, you know, I told you before, like, you are, like, you have so many tattoos and they're really cool, and you know, you've got almost a full sleeve, right?
Like, half sleeves, and then my legs are pretty much sleeved.
Yeah, so, like, you have all these really cool tattoos, but I couldn't do it. And I think I told you before, because whenever I see the same pattern on something for too long, like, I explode. Like, I got to get it out of there. Like, I change my bed sheets, or I'll change the stuff on my desk, you know, and just revamp everything, put stuff away, and then I have to bring out new things.
Right.
Like, right now, I keep Transformers on my desk because they're Transformers. Like, one, Transformers make me happy, but two, I never have to look at them the same way. Like, I can change them up and have them in different configurations, and, like, it's never the same thing. That way I'm saving time of having to go back and forth between all the stuff in the garage and the stuff in my bedroom and switching things around. I don't have to do that. They're Transformers. I just change them, and I feel better about it. So because of that, games that I like have that kind of thing. Like, the main character can either change his form, or you can equip them with armor that it looks different, and they use different weapons. They allow you to adapt. And this Monster Hunter Wilds, like, the Monster Hunter games in general, hits, like, all of those things. You're in a big old world. You can play with your friends, you know, or play alone, and it's fun either way. You can change your armors. You could change your tactics about getting the monsters. And in this brand new one that they just showed, you have mounts that you can ride. You have freedom to, like, go around the world. The weather is changing. The animals are just kind of, like, they have, like, normal grazing animals and stuff. You're not just like hunting the monsters, right? You got to get through all the grazing herbivores and stuff like that before you can find the big predators and stuff like that. So it's really, really looking good so far. And I have thoroughly enjoyed the other Monster Hunter games so far. So this one in particular is just like chef's kiss, looking incredible this year. They had it at the Video Game Awards, and I did another podcast with my friend Steve that we were just we just covered the whole thing as it was going. So it was kind of like a live show. And okay. We had it on his Twitch, and he recorded it for his YouTube and stuff. And yeah, when Monster Hunter Wilds came up, I was like, oh, that's it. That's the game I'm looking forward to. Like everything else is pretty cool, and I'll put notes down for other stuff that I want, but Monster Hunter Wilds is the one.
Okay. That one comes out 2025, yeah?
Yep.
That
so far.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah, those are all some good good things for people to take a glance at. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of what else like on my end. Like, dude, I'm so excited for February 22nd when this live action Avatar: The Last Airbender show comes on Netflix.
Yeah, it's looking good. I've seen some of the choreography when they were doing like some of the fire stuff in one of those. It was one of the previews that they were showing, and I was like, ooh, that looks nice.
Yeah, I was in a training class where we had to have like a random question, you know, like say who you are and where you're from and how long you've done the thing. And then one of the guys is like, what kind of bender would you be? And of course I was like, Bender Bending Rodriguez, of course. and nobody laughed, and I was like, oh, I'm all alone here. But I was like, oh. And everybody says their thing. And I said I'd be a waterbender. And my guy said me that too. seemed appropriate. But he doesn't really know me. So do you think that's... I know you would be a waterbender. You're blue. But yeah. does that sound right? Would I be a waterbender?
I mean, yeah. Because you very much adapt to your situations. Kind of like the way the waterbenders do. You're very loving. You're not... You can be stubborn, but that's not like your entire personality. So I wouldn't put you as an earthbender.
Yeah, I wouldn't be a firebender. That doesn't fit me. And no. I was like, everybody wants to be an airbender, but I just don't think that like that whimsy is me.
No, because they're very passive. They just like blow off everything. It's very like Aang himself is like a perfect example of like what an airbender is. If you've seen, have you seen the cartoon? Have you seen the show?
Oh, I have. Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember, so I documented it here on the podcast. I came to it late and then loved the ever loving piss out of it.
Yeah. And it's so good. But Aang is like a perfect example of it. Like, he kind of shirks responsibility sometimes because he just wants to be free. He just wants to like chill out, relax. And that's why earthbending is so hard for him, because you have to stand your ground. You have to make decisions. You got to be like stoic and grounded, and he just can't do that. He's just, and that's not, I don't think that's you. It just doesn't fit. So waterbending, I think, fits you better.
Yeah. And I would never be a bloodbender, just for the record.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That is fair. I think my wife would try, but I would not.
Yeah. She's so sweet, but yeah. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. That's, but I always like, I never, when people talk about having the Force, I'm like, I wouldn't trust myself with the Force because I think I would go dark really fast.
That's fair.
Like just the ability to manipulate minds and get people to stop doing what they're doing. Like I would do it for altruistic reasons, but I would turn dark very fast.
Yeah.
I'd be very much more like a Balin school, I guess.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. What so I saw this, I guess it's not really like news, but apparently the newest Mandalorian figure has like little, not really a spoiler, but like, here's what it says on the back of the figure. A new quest. Din Djarin, once a lone bounty hunter, has reunited with Grogu as the New Republic struggles to lead the galaxy away from its dark history. So everybody got all like fired up, like,
Sorry. Oh, it says he's not a bounty hunter anymore. Bugga, bugga, bugga.
And you're like, yeah, bro, didn't you watch the show?
Yeah, were you not paying attention?
He said, but he is a bounty hunter. He's just because he's New Republic affiliated, he gets to be an agent of the government. You know what I mean? So he's still going to be using his particular set of skills. He's just not working for the bounty hunter cartel.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just love when action figures come out and they have no idea that they're going to incite all this not nerd rage, but nerd talk.
Mm-hmm. It's just like when the that Mechagodzilla action figure came out before the movie. And everybody was like, yo, what the hell? Why does it look like this? And blah, blah, blah. And then the movie explained it perfectly and what was going on. But boy, howdy, did they not expect that the figure was going to cause so much, such a ruckus.
Well, I mean, we're not going to talk for terribly long, but that's a good segue. What are your thoughts on the MonsterVerse, Blue?
Dude, I'm so down for the MonsterVerse right now. It's really good popcorn stuff. I think Godzilla Minus One was definitely the new hotness, you know what I mean? And still probably one of my favorite Godzilla films of all time. Easy. Right. It ranks so high up there. But in terms of sheer popcorn enjoyability, boy howdy, am I loving this MonsterVerse and the legendary freaking style of the Godzilla movies. They're very fun, and I would love to see more of the Toho monsters come into their little universe there, Anguirus, Titanosaurus. I would love to see some new versions of them, but licensing and all that stuff is hard, and I understand the politics.
I feel like I need to go back and watch all these movies again, now that mm-hmm. I've seen them. Because you were really high on Godzilla King of Monsters.
Dude, it was so good. It was so good.
And I was
still
just
really high on it. It's so good.
I know. And you're the Gojira guy. So your opinion means so much to me. But I just found myself so left wanting. I don't know. But I don't know what I wanted in the first place. You know what I mean? So
that's a thing I think a lot of people fall into. Is that what exactly do you want from a giant monster movie? Do you want the fights? Do you just want the monster? If you had a movie that was just monsters, you wouldn't like the movie. And if you had a movie that was more concentrated on just the story, you wouldn't like the movie. There has to be a balance. I think Godzilla Minus One has the best balance of monster and story and human element to it. And I think if they followed things like that, where it was all kind of analogous to each other, it would probably be better. But I think the legendary monster movies do a pretty good job of you've got the humans trying to survive. You got the monsters trying to basically redo their entire society because yes, some of them had societies like King Kong and his people. Had a whole freaking society that was in balance with the Godzilla monsters and in balance with, the Mutos and all that stuff. And they're trying to reestablish themselves too. So you've got all these different factions working and then you get a bunch of these fucking aliens coming in. Ghidorah and... We'll see what the new one is. I don't know what's the deal with this Scar creature.
The giant Australopithecus?
Yeah, so we'll see.
It's going to be Christopher Walken. I got even bigger. I made it out of the Jungle Book. I'm here for you. Oh, no. Godzilla's been destroyed.
I can't wait. I just saw a video... Totally off topic. Just saw a video of Christopher Walken earlier today where he was a guy telling you how to take care of your plants, but he's deathly afraid of house plants. So he puts googly eyes on all his plants. Hilarious skit. Loved it. Christopher Walken. fantastic.
Well, I'm excited to see him as the Emperor in Dune Part 2.
Yeah, me too. Can't wait.
I don't, as much as I didn't really dig that first part of Dune, like, I find myself very eager to see the second installment. It looks
really?
Like.
Oh yeah, that's right. I remember you didn't really appreciate the first one.
I mean, I didn't hate it. I was like, okay, that was a movie, but it looks like everything that was there was just a setup for what's going to be like a killer second part. You know what I mean? And when you watch the two movies together, because in Denis Villeneuve, man, he's so talented. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think,
for sure.
I think when they're paired together as like one whole movie, it's just going to be like, oh, F, this is freaking great. Because like I found like Dune was on, I forget what channel it was on. And like I stopped and I was like, man, this movie is so well shot. It's sort of like the Blade Runner 2049 movie. Like I left the theater like, oh, that was a little long. I really had to pee. But like the visuals, you can't deny like how like great it all is, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I think I'll definitely be seeing Dune Part 2 in theaters and joining the conversation. But Christopher Walken is the Emperor. And it seems like he's being much more serious, like less Christopher Walken-y.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I'm like, oh, go! Why don't you go kill him at Arrakis? It's weird. I'm John Travolta all of a sudden. It's weird. But yeah, the MonsterVerse, like, I don't know. Like, Kong Skull Island is my favorite of all the MonsterVerse movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, like, the way the Monarch Legacy of Monsters, I so desperately want you to watch that, Blue. Because I've heard some criticisms of people like, oh, once again, focusing on the human story and not the monsters. But I disagree. Like, I thought it was, like, a good way of, like, focusing on the interpersonal human story that's, like, wrapped up in this whole bigger, like, monster thing. And they offer some interesting ideas for, like, what when you're in the realm of the kaiju, you know, the interstitiary like space that like brings them to our planet. And it's much more in that. I don't know if they're going to dive deeper into it in Godzilla X Kong, but it's more than just inside the planet, because that's silly. But the stuff they talk about in that show, I'm like, oh, okay, I can get on board with this, because it's more like interdimensional.
Yeah.
So it was pretty righteous. And it ties in, like, I don't know, it did a really bang-up job. And there was this moment where if I was a smarter, like, watcher, I would have realized how one of the characters related to Kong Skull Island. But I didn't until the very end of the show. And I was like, oh, fuck. Oh, shit. And it got me pretty well. And, yeah, but because it's so tied into this legendary MonsterVerse, and I was like, this is solid. Like, it's fleshing out that universe and giving much more for Monarch, and I appreciated it. And there is some Godzilla, you know what I mean? Yeah. Some good Godzilla, but that's not the thrust of the show, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not an ancillary character. It's very, very much embedded in that world with the kaiju. In fact, at first I thought like it was set before Godzilla King of Monsters, but then they talked about some stuff and I was like, oh no, this is after Godzilla King of Monsters. Like, I think it's before Kong and Godzilla fight. But there's a really, the way they bookend and like tease for like more of Monarch Legacy of Monsters, I was like, oh, here we go, now we're in my wheelhouse, which, you know, because you know me. It was a really enjoyable show. I liked it very much. That's so awesome. Much that I'm like, I would go back and watch it again for sure.
Wait.
But it'd be worth you getting the Apple TV Plus to check it out. So many good shows on Apple TV Plus.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like, me and Heather are of the opinion that they don't make bad shows. Like, they did. The two seasons of Foundation are great. Ted Lasso. There's another show called Silo, which I might watch at some point. We're watching For All Mankind, Godzilla King, or the Monarch Legacy of Monsters. It's good. Good, solid stuff. And then they've made some movies, like the Killers of the Flower Moon you can watch on there now. And then the Napoleon movie was budgeted through them. And the Finch movie with Tom Hanks, sci-fi dystopia. So I just found I can't watch that movie because there's a dog in it and it makes Gus upset.
Oh.
So if I'm going to watch it, it means he has to be asleep and everybody has to be gone.
Does Gus pass the mirror test? Can he recognize himself or does he think it's another dog?
I think all animals do. Isn't that like the very nature of what divides us from the animals? Is that self-realization?
No, like Macha will look at herself in a mirror and like she knows that it's her reflection. So she'll like check like spots on her like chest and then she'll like see something and she'll groom herself whenever she looks in a mirror.
So she is like self-actualization, right?
Yeah, she like she knows that that's just a reflection. It's just her. So does Mochi, like, which is weird.
Maybe that's well, cats have like are incredibly intelligent.
Yeah, but Coco does the same thing. She like looks at the mirror. She doesn't like. I don't think Coco really thinks anything of it when she sees herself in a mirror. She's just like, oh, okay, and then she just like whatever. But she knows it's not like, oh, that's another dog. She doesn't think that that's another animal.
I mean, like, Gus has seen his reflection and, like, gotten spooked and barked at it, but then looked at it again and been like, oh, okay, that's me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
Yeah, but he really, when you're watching stuff on TV, if especially if a dog is involved, he gets really hot and bothered.
Oh, wow. That's wild.
Really, really hot and bothered. And I was, like, I was laughing because, like, the dog is, like, so much in that Finch movie, and it's barking, and I was like, I'm not fluent enough to understand why Gus is upset. You know what I mean? Like, for him, when a dog is communicating, he knows what's being said. Like, and it yeah. may be completely, like, different than what the movie is showing me. The dog could be like, I'm dying of cancer, and nobody here cares. Like, I've got a tapeworm. Why won't somebody care? And Gus is like, I know, brother. I'm so upset. Oh. And meanwhile, I'm like, that dog's a great actor.
Yep.
So I was just thinking about it. I was like, oh, yeah, like, there's really, like, a portion of this movie that I don't understand that my dog does, and it's upsetting him very much.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, you could be right. Who knows?
I started watching it, and, like, after, like, 20 minutes of straight, solid, like, upset barking, I had to turn it off. And then it took like another 15 minutes to calm the dog down.
Wow.
He was very upset by it.
Yeah.
So I was like, maybe I just don't get to watch this movie. the only other geeky thing I could think of, I don't know if you heard, George R.R. Martin met with his publishers for the release of Winds of Winter.
What?
Yeah.
He finished a book.
We may actually finally be getting the sixth book of his Game of Thrones.
Holy wow. I can't believe it. He works like I do.
The crazy thing is, even if this is true, he still has one more book to write.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like he's not even done. We're not even done with him yet. He still has to survive long enough to like give us one last book. I saw that news and I was like, oh my goodness, what are does the world end when George R. R. Martin finishes his story? I don't know. Well, is there anything else geeky to talk about, Mr. Blue?
I think we covered it all, man. Like, I finally got to get all the updates out of my system.
Hey, you know, I think this has been fun. It really hasn't been a news episode. It's just been like literally, I mean, this, it's a little artificial. It's not a true representation of a geek conversation between me and Blue, but, it's not far away from it. You know what I mean? The only difference is, we're not putting it in such a format for like somebody else listening, you know?
Yeah.
But, this is a pretty representative of us just pulling up like different stuff and being like, hey, I'm thinking the title is like When Geeks Get Real. I don't know. What do you think, Blue?
I think we should title it the true geeks of California.
What?
Yeah, like the true housewives, but like we're the geeks.
The true geeks of California.
There you go.
All right, I'm gonna title it that just because you said you want to title it that. This is what happens.
You really shouldn't title it that. It's not a good title.
And you gotta think of a better title, man.
I don't know. I'm so tired, I can't think.
All right. I think the true geeks of California, just because it's so cringy, is cringy.
It's very cringy.
I'm like, how about this is what happens when geeks get real?
There you go. Perfect.
I hope somebody gets the reference. Yeah. All right. Well, Blue, do your plug-in so you can get out of here.
Oh, pluggy plug. You can catch me on Blue Wolf D at Instagram. Catch me on there doing artwork. I do artwork. And
Do you do artwork?
I do, and it's enjoyable when I do artwork. Do I do it all the time?
When was the last time you posted some artwork?
Ha 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 ha, joke's on you. It was like 3 weeks ago.
That's not a joke on me. That was like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's not over a year.
Well, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
You posted like
3 weeks ago or something.
You posted Cyrus.
Yes. Who is absolutely adorable in his dumbness. I love that character so far. It's been really great.
Nice. Was it three weeks ago?
It was 3 weeks ago. Haha. Almost a month.
You still haven't drawn me like one of your French girls.
But I will.
Will you?
It'll come out when book 6 from J.R.R. Mountain comes out.
Someday we'll work on our comic book.
It's going to happen. Yeah. And that'll happen sooner than the other.
Then George R. R. Martin finishing his books. That's our official goal. If we ever see a news release that George R. R. Martin is releasing book 7, we're gonna have to like crack down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like yeah. For sure.
What else you got? Your Capes and Caverns.
Oh yes. Also, Capes and Caverns is currently on a hiatus because we've got DM doing full shows because he's practically running the theater right now, and then our wonderful host Stephen Thomas is currently in a show acting and performing and going to rehearsals and the whole nine, so everybody is super super busy. Like I've been so proud of everyone, and I'm sitting here going, yay, I made a catalog, look at my brochure. You know.
Yeah, that kind of work is important too, Blue. It pays the bills.
It does pays the bills. That is very true.
Yes. It pays the bills, so don't knock it. Keeps the food on the table.
It's just still not as exciting.
Well, I mean, I play Star Wars every day, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's my job.
Yeah.
Although I do appreciate that people see me and they go, man, that guy looks like Star Wars. I'm like, thanks, guys. Thanks, guys. I appreciate that. I've always wanted to be that guy that looks like Star Wars.
Well, congratulations. You look like Star Wars.
You know the drill for me, laughituppuzzballpodcast@gmail.com, tpublic.com/user/laugh-it-up-fuzzball, or just search Laugh It Up Fuzzball, as my wife says. It's easier on the tpublic site. I'm hoping to get some shirts out somewhere in the future. Blue's about to go on vacation, but when he comes back, because I know he could whip up some fonts real easy for me, I think I've got two designs I'm going to have him put together for me and the podcast. What else? At Wookie Ryan on Twitter and Instagram. I just realized, like, I used to be, like, really good about posting on Instagram pictures. I sort of, like, I did, like, Happy New Year. And then I like, didn't post anything for a while. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's almost the end of January. So I posted a really funny picture of Thrawn and Data next to each other, where they look very much similar. Made me chuckle. So I just wanted to put it up. And then, of course, I posted that that toy thing tonight while we were recording. So
yeah.
I'm going to try to get back onto it. What else? What else, my friend? I can't quite think. I think that's all the things. Of course, thanks to Spotify for Podcasters for making it free to get in your ears. We appreciate that. You want to support the podcast? Go to TeePublic. Purchase a sticker or something. Or support the podcast directly on the click the link on the anchor.fm/laugh-it-up-fuzzball. I think I'll still get you there. I need to just buy a domain where it'll like take you to it, but you know, I've been saying that for months, for years. So we'll see. But I think that's all the jazz. On all that jazz.
And all that jazz. Speaking of jazz, I'm probably gonna order one.
You gonna order a jazz?
Yeah. From Transformers. Jazz.
Oh. Fair enough. Yeah. Yeah. And all that jazz and blues, jizz, jets, jizzamaholics. Yeah. I didn't even talk about it. I've totally like been on a bit of a musical kick, but that could be for another time.
Hey.
But yeah.
Musicals again.
Yeah. Thanks so much for joining, Mr. Blue.
Thanks so much for having me.
Maybe while the Capes and Caverns is on hiatus, we can just have the Autumn come on and we could talk some musicals.
Oh, heck yeah. That'd be rad.
Yeah. Yeah. Since that'd be like three of us, three of the five. So mayhap. But she's probably a busy human themselves.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. All right, buddy. We want you to be excellent to each other. We want you to party on, dudes, and all that good stuff. And it's, the Benjamin Blue for Blue the Fourth, the Earl of Blueberry, and me, Tribal Chief Joe the Wookiee Riot, out.